Well, good morning. Good to see everyone today. And on Sunday last week, we began a brand new series on the church, the family of God, and with great emphasis on the family. The church is a family, and we're called to live in community with other brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And then also on Sunday morning, a week ago, we began a brand new study on Bible class on these one another passages. And there are 58 of them in the Bible. 58 of these passages that say, love one another, pray for one another, bear one another's burdens, confess your faults to one another, and on and on and on they go. They are numerous, but they tell us how we're supposed to live in community with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I felt like these two messages would blend real well and help us understand what it means to be the family of God, what it means to be the church of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you a question. What is it that gives life to our physical bodies apart from God? What is it that gives life to our physical bodies apart from God? You might say, well, it's the heart or the brain or the liver or the kidneys. The truth of the matter is, it's all of those things. It's not any one of them. You couldn't live without a liver. You couldn't live without a brain. You couldn't live without a heart. I mean, all of those organs are vital and necessary for life. And so all of these parts work together and they produce life to our physical bodies. And so it is true at the body of Christ. When all of its members work together, do its part, it produces life, it produces health, it produces growth in the body of Jesus Christ. If all of our parts stop working, then the body dies. Just like our physical bodies. If the heart stops, you die. If the kidney stops, you die. If the liver stops, you die. And so any one of those organs, you die. And in the body of Christ, if we don't do our part, the body will die. The spiritual body is no different from the physical body. And so how many of you want to be a source of life to the body of Jesus Christ? Well, I hope every one of you do, and there's two things that are necessary if we are going to be a source of life to the body of Christ. Number one, we must have an intimate fellowship in the body of Christ. We must have an intimate fellowship with the body of Christ. Thus, the passage of Scripture that was read a few moments ago, Paul talks about the church, and he says here, beginning at verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Notice, from whom the whole body, joined and fitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And so notice how each part doing its part brings about growth in the family of God, in the church of God. And so I believe fellowship among believers is one of the most important principles in producing life and health that you can find in the Word of God concerning the body of Christ. You see, all of my bodily members have an intimate fellowship with one another, and consequently, I have life. So all my physical body parts are all working to do their part. Everyone doing their part. And it's a wonderful thing when everyone does their part. It's not wonderful when they're not doing their part. Be a bit frustrating. You wake up in the morning and say, I want to get out of bed, but the body don't want to get up. Legs don't want to move. Arms don't want to move. You just lie there wanting to get up, but you can't. Why? Because the body won't cooperate. What if you want to communicate, but for some reason you can't talk one morning when you wake up? You just can't speak. It would be frustrating because you're so used to communicating in such an easy fashion, an easy way. We need every body part to do its part, to really have life and health, the life and health that God wants us to have anyway. And so, no member of my body can function independently from any other member of my body. So think about that for just a moment. As we think about the spiritual body of Christ, there's no member of my body that can function independently. My head, it depends on my neck. Right? I mean, my hands, they depend on my arms. Everything's connected to something. You know, that old song, you know, this bone connected to that bone or whatever. It's true. And everything is connected, and every part is connected to another part. And only when each part does its part can each part function as it's supposed to. Right? And that's what we want. That's what we want in the body of Jesus Christ. No member of the body of Christ can function apart from the body. There must be this intimate fellowship among other members. And we're going to have a lesson down the road where we talk about how to find my part. And where exactly do I fit in? And am I a leg? Am I an eye? Am I an ear? Am I, you know, what am I in the spiritual body of Christ? I have a role. I have a part. And I need to fulfill that so that the body can be all that God intended the body to be. The problem we have is with establishing this kind of fellowship with certain members who choose to live individualistically. And God does not call us to live as individuals. He calls us to live in community. And so, and some members, they just insist on maintaining their independence. They're going to be independent no matter what. And we have to drop that attitude. We can't have that attitude in the body of Christ. We must realize that I'm connected to someone else, and some other member needs me to do my part, and I need some other member to do its part. That's true of my physical body. It's true of the spiritual body, the church of Jesus Christ. God commits us to be individuals, but He does not allow us to be individualistic. I am an individual, right? I am Ray Rose. That's who I am. I am an individual. But I'm not supposed to live as an individual. Individualistically, that is. That only my life matters, nobody else's life around me matters. I can't live that way. If our bodies acted like that, well, you just have parts laid out all over the place. There's the ear over there, a hand over there, a leg over there. You know, a finger over there, just parts strung out all over the place. That's how you live individualistically. And in the body of Christ, we can't live that way. And so there can be no such thing as independent members of the body of Christ, just like there cannot be in our physical bodies. Therefore, no member can stop functioning without hampering the church. And that's true of the whole body, because if you think of us as a body, and that's what we are, what part of the body is not important? What part of the body is not needed? Let me ask you, your physical body, what part of your body don't you want anymore? What part of your body are you willing to just throw in a garbage can today? I bet you there isn't a single member in your body you want to throw away. I bet you like everyone, you like what everyone does, and you want everyone to keep doing what they do. That's what you want. Jesus Christ wants the same thing for His church. The same thing. Now, some assume that as long as they seek to be spiritual, everything will be all right. So I can be individual, but I can function as an individual as long as I'm spiritual. No. No, you can't. In the body, there needs to be a mutual working of each member in order to have a healthy body. Have I said that enough today? Hopefully I have. I mean, I keep repeating this, but repetition's important. So, we are the body of Christ. We, not you, we are the body of Jesus Christ. Paul says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. There's a second point here today. We must have a body consciousness. We must have a body consciousness. That is, we are fully conscious of our physical bodies. What I mean by that is we are aware when we stub a toe, when we break a leg, when we break a foot, when you break a finger, anything that happens to your physical body, you are immediately aware. Why? Because you have body consciousness. You're not detached. It's not like things happen and later on you come back together. Oh man, earlier today my leg must have got into something. Nothing happened to your leg that you weren't aware of. Nothing happened to your hand that you weren't aware of. Nothing happened to your ear that you weren't aware of. We are aware of everything that happens to our physical bodies. And the same is true of the body of Jesus Christ. And so it is to be true. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. 12:26, Paul says, and if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Let's read that again. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Notice the mutual suffering and the mutual rejoicing. So, when one member hurts, all the members hurt. When one member is honored, all the members are honored. You see, I'm a whole unit. I'm not a single member. We're a unit. We're one in Jesus Christ. If one of us hurts, all of us should hurt. The same way our bodies. If I hurt a member, my whole body knows that member's hurt. It rallies around that member, and it does everything it can to help that member. Everything it can to help that member. It's not like, you know, you break a foot, and well, I'll get around to that later on when I get to it. No, you don't do that, right? You immediately deal with this foot that's broken. It's what you do. If one member suffers, we all suffer. I can tell you that's true. One member suffers, all the members suffer. So let me ask you, do you think we have a body consciousness here at Gary Road? Do you think in this congregation that we are aware of the hurts and the honors that take place in the body of Christ? When our church members hurt, do we hurt with them? When they mourn, do we mourn with them? When they're honored, do we stand up and rejoice with them in the fact that they're being honored for whatever it is they're being honored for? Let me ask you this. How long does it take for a member of the body of Christ to notice? So when one of ours is hurting, how long does it take before others of us take note? In the body, it's instant. In the physical body, it's right now. But I understand we're dealing with a physical body. There is an analogy here, but there are some areas where it breaks down too, right? So it's not perfect across the board. But when one of ours is hurting, all of ours should be hurting. When one of ours is weeping, we should all be weeping. And so how long does it take before all of us join in and hurt with you in your hurt? Or rejoice with you in your honor? How long does it take? How can we develop a body consciousness? Well, one of them, we have to have fellowship with each other, which is one of the things that the Bible emphasizes over and over and over again, is this fellowship that we have with each other. You can't love people you don't fellowship with. You can't love people you don't know. You just can't. And so the more we're together, the more we interact, the more we learn, the more we love, and the more we become the people that Jesus called us to be. As we interact with each other, we see the hurts and we see the needs of the body, and we can minister. We should be looking so that we can minister. Now, there's three things I want to give you in closing, and this is from the book of Acts, chapter 2. Just three quick things. As we think about fellowship, what's involved in biblical fellowship? Because if we're going to have body consciousness, there needs to be fellowship among members so that we know when one of us is hurting and we know one of us is rejoicing. Number one, Christian fellowship included all believers. It didn't exclude any. It included every believer in Jesus Christ. Now, Acts chapter 2 is the beginning of the church. The church of Jesus Christ began in Acts the second chapter on the day of Pentecost. So 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his church began. And they had this wonderful fellowship among themselves. And in verse 47, as the chapter sums up, we see that these saints were praising God, and notice, having favor with all the people. They had favor with all the people. So biblical fellowship includes all of God's people. It doesn't exclude any. If in my fellowship I'm picking and choosing and I'm excluding people because of, I don't know, race, because of their job, because of the money they make, whatever the situation might be, if I start picking and choosing who I want to be in fellowship and who I don't want to be in fellowship with, that's wrong. Because fellowship includes all of the believers in Jesus Christ. We're one great big family. It includes all of us. And so we don't get to throw people out of the fellowship. One great big fellowship. Number two, Christian fellowship held believers together. It's what locked them together. Listen, if you don't have fellowship, what do you have? If you don't have a relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, what do you have? In verse 44 of the second chapter, he says, "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common." See that? All who believed had all things in common. And so, now all who believe were together. They were together. They had all things in common. So the reason they were together is they had all things in common. That's why they had all things together. And then number three, Christian fellowship met the needs of the saints. It met the needs of the saints. Now, going back here, just back up just a little bit in this second chapter, beginning at verse 41, he says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship." Notice the breaking of bread and prayers. "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, had all things in common. They sold their possessions and their goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." So notice how all the needs of God's people were met by the saints. They sold their possessions. They sold their goods. They made sure their brothers and sisters had what they needed. And so this fellowship that they had was incredible. It met all the needs of all the believers that were there in Jerusalem. And the same should be true here. Our fellowship should meet all of the needs of all God's people, whatever those needs are. Sometimes they're financial, sometimes they're spiritual, sometimes they're other. But the fellowship should help and take care of those needs. And so this morning, if you're not a part of the fellowship of God's family, the church that He established 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost, you can become part of that church. Peter told a large group of people what they needed to do to become become believers in God and to be saved and to be a Christian. And he told them when they asked, you know, what shall we do? And Peter says, you need to repent and you need to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 responded. 3,000 put their faith in Christ. 3,000 were baptized. That was the beginning of the Lord's church. And it's been growing ever since through the centuries. If you're not a part of that church, you can become a part of that church the same way those saints became a part of it, through obedience to the gospel. So whatever you need, if you need prayer, we'd love to pray for you this morning. So if you have any need whatsoever, this is a time for you to make that known as we sing.